years ago. So, you know, it was ready. But then he wanted to have a little bit more room for his garden. So we took some careful measures and got him ready for that. Well, he planted about a week and a half ago a number of things that he had purchased as already good starts, some tomatoes and some peppers, and I think they put some seed in the ground for corn, and he bought this bundle of onions, and he planted as many onions as he felt like he could use, and he said, "Dad, I've got some left." And so he brought them over, and in my raised bed that I built a couple of years ago, he even planted them for me. We were there, and I said, "Son, I don't have time right now." But you know what? What was I doing? I was resting. And he said, "Well, let me just go out and do this for you, Dad." So, yeah, of course, I had to go out there with him and make sure he does it right. And of course, he did a great job. Well, you know, just a day or two later, I went out and I looked at those onions, and they looked fine, but they were all messed up. And I'm not sure whether it was a cat or a raven or a squirrel or what, but a bunch of those onions had gotten rearranged. I don't think they ate anything. I don't think they took it away, but they'd gotten rearranged in my flower area. And just kind of a frustration. Am I going to be able to grow onions this year? And so all of that said, we were just having some fun planting. Now, I've got some strawberries I'm expecting to get some harvest from this year, and we'll be planting some tomatoes. I wait until after Memorial Day. You know how cold it was a week and a half ago, or a week ago? I remember how hot it was, yes, okay? But it got cold after that. And so I always try to wait until after Memorial Day at least, and that way I can get my, at least the plants that I'm going to put in, the starts and all, put into the ground. And why do I do that? Well, because number one, I love to go out and pick some tomatoes off the vine. I love to go out and pick some strawberries off the vine. I love to go out and find whatever else is appropriately growing, and I'm hoping to find some onions growing and producing this year, and making it so that we can enjoy those with our meals as we go along. Well, we plant for a purpose, don't we? We have an opportunity to do that. I've enjoyed knowing of a number of you who have been busy planting flowers and making your yards beautiful for the spring. We have some new flowers that our brother Brandon prepared in a bed here on the east side of the building, and it's they've been so beautiful, and of course out around the trees out here as well. We do some things to try to beautify, so we plant for a lot of reasons, don't we? We plant for beauty, we plant for fruit and productive and for dinner and all of those things that we love to see happening go along the way. I have a feeling that it's not going to be long before Julie wants me to plant some blackberries, and because I know how she loves those. And we'll see if that ever happens in our yard. But we're so thankful for the privilege to plant and to bear fruit and to see those things coming along at this time of year, especially. We get excited about that, don't we? Well, I'm asking you the question this week with our message as we continue in our study of the book of James. I'm asking you, what are you planting this year? And I'm not really wanting you to go to your yard and think about what you're planting. I know a lot of you are way ahead of me with the kinds of things that you're planting to both beautify and hope for good fruit in the coming months and years. But we thank the Lord for the opportunity to do that. But today we want to be thinking about what it is that we're planting in our lives. What is it that you plant in your life? Because, you know, a lot of times we get excited about our walk with the Lord, and we spend time with Him, and we enjoy good messages, we enjoy great worship, we enjoy opportunities to grow together in our fellowship in Christ, and yet sometimes in the course of our lives, we spend way too much time doing other things other than nurturing the planting that we have done. By the way, I'm not exactly sure what I need to do to nurture those onions if they're going to completely get destroyed by the next squirrel or raven or whatever comes by. But we have some things that we can do and give attention to as we think about nurturing and understanding the work of the Word of God in our lives. And really, as we look at this next section from James chapter 1, beginning of verse 19, we're needing to understand that we're looking at what the Word of God is all about in our lives. There are so many good passages about the Word of God, but this is the one where we find be doers of the Word and not only hearers. And we are going to observe that today and examine that thought for a moment or two. I think we want to be sure, though, that we don't ignore the rest of what we know to be true from the Scripture. Just a couple of thoughts right off the top. We want to remember that what Psalm 119 tells us, that as we hide God's Word in our heart, it gives us victory over sin. It gives us victory over the work of sin in our life and the development of sin in our life. And it gives us victory over even the desire for sin. And so those things are important for us. We let the Word of God shine the light for our path. And God's Word is that which reveals so much to us. But today in James chapter 1, we're going to look a little more intently at James chapter 1 and also Matthew from Matthew chapter 13, a few verses there. But in James chapter 1, let's read verses 19 through 25, where it says, "My dear brothers and sisters, understand this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For human anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. Therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, humbly receive the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like someone looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer who works, this person will be blessed in what he does." This person will be blessed in what he does. Let's pray together. Lord, as we spend these moments together, we'd ask that you might capture our hearts and our thoughts in regard to these thoughts. God, we would pray that we'd be able to listen and hear exactly what each one of us needs to hear today. Father, it may be that as all of us come from a variety of backgrounds and a variety of experience in Christ and various stages of growth in our walk with you, O God, that you may say something a little bit different to each person. But God, may we come to the conclusion together that it is through the planting of your word and the application of that very same thing that we are able to grow together in Christ and be the body that you've called us to be. Lord, lead us in these moments for your pleasure and for our growth in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love the way these first verses start. Actually, should I say I love it when it reminds me that I'm a very poor listener sometimes? All of us are maybe poor listeners from time to time. Sometimes in conversations, we might be inclined to be hearing something, and we might catch a small glimmer of what somebody else was saying when they had perhaps a whole big, wonderful light to shine. But because we heard a small glimmer, we started thinking about the next thing we wanted to say, right? And we started to get involved with that thinking of how can I shine light now? How can I give the light to this conversation? But you know, we love to give those thoughts and opinions. We love to share ourselves. We love to give those ideas to one another. But we are not sometimes very good at listening carefully for the perspective of others. I've had folks talk to me, and I've identified with them a little bit. But I've had a person or two talk to me from time to time and say, you know, it just doesn't really seem like anybody wants to listen to me. It just doesn't seem like anybody's going to stop long enough and be quiet long enough that they can hear what I really have to say. And I have some wonderful things I want to share. I have some things and some thoughts from God's Word that I want to share. I have some things that I want to ask and get clarified as we go along. But nobody really seems to want to listen to me. As I say that, I think every one of us needs to kind of just have in mind this thought that we want to be honoring to one another in that we would both listen as well as open our mouths to share when it's appropriate. But we need to see what the Lord is trying to say to us here and be ready to listen for the perspective of others. And I think the next part of that is we want to be very careful to listen to what God's Word wants to say to us. And when we hear His Word, our lives ought to be powerfully affected, right? Our lives ought to be powerfully affected by what we hear and see as we both listen to and read God's Word. And so I want us to pause and just look back at Matthew 13 for just a moment now. And we're going to read verses 1 through 9 in Matthew chapter 13. Here we find the parable of the sower, opportunity for Jesus and his teaching to just try to put some things out there and make it clear that there are going to be a variety of kinds of people who will be both listening to his messages as well as to the messages of hope that the disciples will share along the way in the days that would come and now have both passed and are still going on. But in Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. It there says, on that day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat down while the whole crowd stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, consider the sower who went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it didn't have much soil, and it grew up quickly since the soil wasn't deep. But when the sun came up, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. And other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it. Still, the other seed fell on good ground and produced fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30 times what was sown. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen. Okay, so we find in this passage in James, in James chapter 1, very close similarities in theme as it talks in both places about listening and about planting, about sowing seed and about hearing the Word of God. And so as we press forward today, we want to be a people who, as we listen, we are ready to receive the Word of God. James, of course, uses that, but Matthew, Jesus teaches us there in Matthew 13 that God's Word to the is to the seed and to the soil of the human heart is so important for us to be thinking of. And so there he described and talked to us about four different kinds of hearts. That's what I want to get to. He talked to us about four different kinds of hearts. He talked about the hard heart. I mean, he says it was the path, the hard paths where the soil was not cultivated or ready to receive any seed. But he says that this is the hard heart. And these are the people who have hard hearts are those who don't even understand or receive the word, and therefore they're not able to even think about bearing fruit. You see, seed can be planted in a lot of places, but if it's not received into the soil, if it does not have opportunity to die and take and begin to awaken and take root and then produce, it will never bear any fruit. And so that's where he's, what he's talking about in this first type of soil, but also it really is the first type of a heart that does not understand or receive God's word and therefore cannot be productive. And then he talks about the shallow heart. The shallow heart. And perhaps we all have even been in this category from time to time. It's an opportunity for us to think about where the shallow heart is like a very emotional place, but it really has no depth. And therefore, it can bear no fruit. It cannot ever really become mature to the place where it can reproduce and produce fruit that is expected and helpful along the way. And so that would be the shallow heart. Very emotional, no depth though, and it cannot bear fruit. And then he talks about the crowded heart, where the seed may grow up, but it gets choked out. The crowded heart, where it lacks ultimately repentance, and it allows sin to come in and to crowd out the word of God, to crowd out the teaching of God's word and the application of God's word. Looking ahead to James there, the doing of God's word. So we have the crowded heart that just doesn't have room really for the word of God to bear fruit. But then the fourth kind of heart, the fourth kind of soil and heart that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to us in Matthew says that it is the fruitful heart. It's a heart that receives the word. It is a heart that allows the word of God to take root and ultimately then will produce a wonderful harvest of fruit. It will produce a wonderful harvest of fruit. And in fact, as you look at verse 8, it says, still other seed fell on good ground and produced fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30 times what was sown. And let anyone who has ears to hear, let him hear. You know, in my garden, if I, over the course of the season, get 100 strawberries off of my strawberry plants, I'm going to be pretty happy. You know, I may expect a few more than 100 because they start producing early and then they're still producing in September. And sometimes I found them in October. Just how did that happen? Where did that strawberry come from? Oh, well, it just was ready. It was time for that particular one. And then, of course, I expect to get tomatoes. And I want my tomato, every plant, especially those little cherry tomatoes, I want them to produce a couple hundred little tomatoes to enjoy over the course of the season. And then the larger tomatoes, if I get 30, not per plant, but if I get, 30 to 50 tomatoes out of my tomato garden this year, I'll be really happy. I'm going to have to be eating. I'll have to be eating them, but I'm going to be really enjoying those as they produce really good fruit. But you see, where there is good soil, where the seed is received, where the word of God is received, we have to understand that we need our own hearts to be like that good soil where the word of God is received, the truth and the instruction of the scripture is received, so that from how we've received the word of God, we can bear fruit for his kingdom. It's not just to make somebody happy, but it's for a purpose. It's for the purpose of God's kingdom. And fruit may look different in some people's lives. And I think we want to remember that even in Galatians, we find the instruction that sometimes it's just the fruit of good behavior, the fruit of an attitude, the fruit of a heart, the fruit of a spirit, which the fruit of the Holy Spirit is. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and goodness and self-control. You see, those things are the things that are promised by the presence of the Spirit of God in our lives, but they are not even produced apart from understanding and knowing the Word of God. For it is through the understanding and knowing the Word of God that we come to a place where we know what it is that we need to apply and allow to happen in our lives. And so we're thankful for that. But it is the fruit of the Spirit of God that comes in that way. There are other kinds of fruit that we want to be looking for in the Christian's life. We want to be looking for a fruit that produces relationships that help other people to come and know Jesus Christ. Now, I said that in a way that is very broad, didn't I? I didn't say just we want to see the fruit of you leading every person around you to put their faith in Jesus Christ. And then we'll call it a good fruit. Okay? No, I said everyone around you needs to see the fruit of God in you, and therefore the fruit of God and His Spirit may also begin to bear in their own lives as they see the value of what you have done as you've placed your faith in Jesus and allowed His truths to live out their life in you. I talk to way too many people who say, you know, the Christians can do this and this and this and this and this. Those are the things I want to do. Why do I want to become a Christian? Those are the things I do anyway. You see, we as Christians need to recognize that we have a different standard that we need to live in front of the world. We have a calling to live and reflect the character, the moral character of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we see that as it goes ahead and is formed in this passage in James, it says that we need to be able to see ourselves and know who we are and then allow those changes to take place in our lives that are not holy, that are not righteous, that are not helpful, and that are not good for other people. You see, sometimes Christians are our own worst enemy, are Jesus' own worst enemy, I should say. Isn't that right? If we don't look any different from the people in the world, then we are ourselves enemies of Christ. If we don't allow the Word of God to really be transforming us and helping us in growth and holiness and purity and in the life that God has called us to, then we are the enemies of our Savior Himself. We are not helping at all. And so we need to be doing those things that allow the Word of God to transform us. It is His Word that transforms. It is His work and His presence and His Spirit in us that changes us. And friends, if you came to Christ, if you came to Jesus at some point in your life and you said, I want to receive Jesus, I want to have the promise of eternal life, but I don't want to change anything in my life. I want to continue in all of these things that some Christians say are sinful. I want to continue in all of these things that maybe don't look so righteous and holy. And I don't know about how, you know, this idea of really being close to God. I don't know about that. But I want eternal life. And so I'm saying that I received Jesus. My friends, something's wrong. Your life and my life need to look different in the world. And that doesn't mean that we never fail. That does not mean that we never make a mistake. That does not mean that someone might come and challenge us sometime. But when you are challenged and someone comes to you and says, you know what? I think you're really missing the boat. Now, that might be a brother or sister in Christ, but honestly, when it has such powerful impact in our lives is when someone who is not a believing person comes to you and says, you know, I've heard you talk about this relationship you have with Jesus, but I need to ask you about something. Why is it that your attitude toward this person is so ugly? Why is it that you can't think or say nice things about another person? Or why is it not so much that you can't say nice things, but that everything you have to say about that person is ugly? Friends, our attitude needs to be like the attitude of Jesus Christ, who left His glorious home, His place of presence with the Father in order to come and identify with you and me and to live His life in a way that He could show us the glory of God. And He came humbly. And we need ourselves to be humble with one another. We need ourselves to be humble with those who are outside in our world here, because there are those who need to see you as they need to see Jesus. See, they need to see the very reality of Christ alive in you. And are you doing that? I think it's kind of dangerous to always ask people to think back about this last week. And so I'm really not going to ask you to do that, but I want you to think forward to this next week. And I want you to think forward to this next week and make a commitment of your heart and your life and your mind right now that you are going to show Jesus to the people who are around you. Some of you may need to show Jesus to the people who are in your own home, your family. Some of you may need to show Jesus to your next door neighbor. Some of you may need to show Jesus to someone around or somebody nearby, whether it's in the neighborhood or on the job or wherever it may be, that has a tendency to rile your feathers a bit. And you need to figure out how to show Jesus to that person and help them know that Jesus loves them. Jesus has a deep and abiding love and affection for us each one. And so we need to remember that the Word of God is going to be limited in its impact in our lives unless we have received it in a right way. And of course, getting back to this idea of the fruit that needs to be produced in us, we recognize that we receive the Word of God and we allow it to grow down deep in our hearts. And let me just add this thought. I believe that this final good soil is a soil that the roots are going to go down into once the seed is awakened. And the roots are going to go down into that, and they are going to be constantly connected so that the Word of God and the nourishment of God's Word and the teaching of God's Word is always providing what is necessary for producing good fruit. You see, the one who is planted in good soil finds the nourishment of God. And friends, you and I today, we talk about having a meaningful and valuable devotional life. We talk about having a commitment to a devotional life. In fact, at some point, we might use that with each other and might be one of the places where we are most challenged and where we feel the most guilty because we struggle in that. But my friends, when the soil is right and we are planted in that soil, pardon me, we will have opportunity to constantly be growing. Now, at points in time, there might be a part of a season where we are going to just need nourishment ourselves in order to be growing. But there are going to be also those times when we're going to be pushing out and producing that good fruit that is going to be good for others around us. And ultimately, we will see the fruit that comes when others also come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There is that whole idea of not only producing, but reproducing, right? And we need to become a people who are not sterile in our spiritual lives, but that we are able to be a people ready and faithful and eager in the work of reproducing as people come to place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to move on to the next thought, and we're not going to get as far as I thought today. But I want to move on to this next thought because I think it's so important. it's almost really not the next thought. It's in that very first verse. But where it says, "My dear brothers and sisters, understand this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger." I'm of the opinion that in our world today, we don't find very many people like that. I pray and I trust that we find more people like that in the life of the body of Christ than we do out in the world. But I think even in the body of Christ, sometimes we can struggle to really show that pattern where we are quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. I think what we see, particularly in the world, and yet sometimes even among our fellowship as we meet with others, is that we are more inclined to be quick to anger and quick to speak and slow to forgive. I know it's not all the same words, all right? But it's the same principles. We need to not be quick to anger, quick to speak, and slow to forgive. We need to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. I know we can talk all day about righteous anger. Most of us have no clue what real righteous anger should be. Because we get too angry with those things that are so unimportant so quickly. I want us to think just for a moment today about this very idea of the importance of being quick to listen. Let me just throw a couple of other verses out there with this. In Romans 10:17, it says, so faith comes from hearing. And where does that come from? From the Word of God. From the Word of God about Christ. And so that's where our faith grows up. And then we want to be quick. We want to hear. Now you hear, you listen to the sounds of those things you love, right? There are probably among us, and maybe in every one of your lives, there is a music artist that when they come on, you're just instantly singing along. All right, you just all of a sudden you okay? Oh, I identify with that. I can start singing with that right away. Yesterday we had the joy of my son-in-law and daughter's Bonet Music Academy annual recital. Sean has developed this music teaching where he has about 80 students that he's working with. Some of them are online, and yesterday there were about 30 young pianists who played their little short pieces and a couple of others that were much more developed. And he also has a brass group that he teaches trumpet and guitar and piano and voice. And so he's got his little brass ensemble, and he invites Daddy, he calls me Daddy, to play along with that. And so I got to go down and play with him in his brass ensemble and add my mistakes to all of theirs, and we had a wonderful time. And then we got to hear a glorious sound as children and young adults were singing a Sanctus praise that he had arranged. And then in the course of that, it's just so important to be listening and hearing. But you know, the other part of that is I got to listen to my granddaughter. I got to listen to her just be so excited and talking, and I have no idea what she said. But I think it had something to do about climbing up the stairs and then climbing down the stairs and then climbing up the stairs and then climbing down the stairs and then pointing off into the room and, ah, that, check up, various kinds of things. And just, you know, the sounds that come from a one-year-old's mouth, okay? Just a glorious time with laughter and pleasure and all of those things. And, you know, I wanted to hear every sound she made. I wanted to listen to those things, and I thoroughly enjoyed that. And I'm going to get to see her again this Thursday and Friday. I can't hardly believe it. You know, only 1 week away, we're going to see him again. But the whole idea is that we listen to what we love. We listen to music that stirs our hearts. We listen to people who stir our hearts, who thrill us, and we listen to the sounds of our children and our grandchildren because they are growing and they are learning and they are becoming. And it's such a wonderful experience to enjoy that very reality. But we need to be faithful and we need to be careful in the listening. And then we need to slow down when it comes to speaking. Do you talk over other people? When someone's trying to say something to you, do you try to clarify it for them? I can't say that except I'm guilty, right? I've learned and I've cultivated the idea of being careful to hear what other people have to say. And I want to be able to hear what other people have to say, except when I don't want to anymore. Right? Are you like that? Does that happen in your life? Of course it does. Of course it does. And we need to be slow to speak. Let me throw this at you. Proverbs 10:19 NLT says, "Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut." Now, please, at least say hello to me on the way out. You don't have to be quiet there, all right? Proverbs 17:27 says, "A truly wise person uses few words, and a person with understanding is even-tempered." We need to be slow to speak. We need to be ready to hear and slow to speak. And then we need to be slow to get angry. Anger is not the way that God has called us to work with one another. Anger is not the way of the righteousness of God. Be angry and sin not, the Bible says. Anger does come. I wouldn't ask anybody to raise their hand and say they'd never been angry, because then I'd have to call you a liar. Because every one of us knows the reality of anger in our lives. But what do you do with that? When you are stirred up, are you quick to flare? Or are you a slow burn that ultimately consumes everything in your path? Or do you understand that when your heart is stirred with that kind of anger, frustration, you can call it whatever you want, but what are you going to do with it? Well, you're going to be slow to get angry. Because you know how you can do that? By listening first. By being quick to listen. How can you slow down the flash of your anger? By listening carefully to what you need to hear. You need to listen. You need to be slow to speak and slow to get angry. Well, I know that's true in my life. I know that as I preach this and preach these messages from the book of James, because they're all about applying the principles of the goodness of God, I know that as I preach these, I need to apply these things even to my own lives. So what are we characterized by? In your life, are you quick to react and slow to listen? You know, it amazes me. What some people will use as an excuse to never go to church again. Because they were quick to react to something. They responded to something that the preacher said, or the whole church did, or that other person from across the room looked at them funny and made them feel a little bit uncomfortable, and all of the things that people use as excuses not to ever go to church again, not to ever interact with or participate in the life of growing as a child of God. It amazes me. But we need to be careful that then as we are applying ourselves the Word of God, not that we can step back and expect that we're never going to do something that angers somebody again, but we need to be careful to expect that the Word of God will continue to purify and perfect and sanctify us, so that those things that we say, those things that we do, can be both blessing and giving honor to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and also giving blessing to those who are around us, in that they are then able to come to put their trust in Jesus, who gives life everlasting. What are you planting in your garden? What are you planting in your life? Because what you plant is what will be harvested, right? What you plant is what will grow. If you have planted anger, anger will grow. If you have nurtured bitterness, bitterness will grow. If you have given water to those thoughts of impurity, then those thoughts of impurity will grow. What is being planted in your life? I get it. You live in the same world as everyone else. The temptations are all going to be there. And there will be times that you may fall. But what are you doing intentionally to plant the seeds both of God's word and the holiness and the truth of His life, His righteousness, His purity, His spirit in your life? What's being planted in you? And then are you giving attention to doing and not simply hearing? Because really that's where you see the fruit of walking with Jesus, is when you do what He has called you to do. So what's this? As you plant, what fruit are you expecting? I know there will be some weeds that I have to pick out of my little garden. I know there's going to be some stuff that I don't want to have grow along there. But I'm going to yank those things out, and I'm going to get rid of them to the best of my ability so that the things that I've intentionally planted in my garden can bear good fruit and be productive for us. So as you plant, what are you expecting? If you plant the weeds, you probably should expect the weeds, right? Of course you are. But be careful that you plant only that which is from above. What do you think is the fruit that Jesus is expecting from your life? You know, I ask a question like that sometimes, and I think, you know, people, I've heard enough people talk about their struggle and the fact that, you know, I just don't really feel like I can talk to other people all that well, and all, you know, this and that. And so please don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but what really are you expecting as you plant both the Word of God and the truth of God's Word in your life? Because you see, what you plant, you can produce. You will reproduce. Your life will reproduce when you have planted the Word of God, when you have planted the holiness of God, when you have planted the love of God and the grace of God and the purity of God, when you have planted all of those things. Sometimes you don't even have to talk about it, but you won't have any trouble talking about it either, because you will have opportunity to share out of the testimony of your life as that which you've planted bears fruit, the goodness of God and all that He has produced in you through His Spirit and through the good soil, for He's the one who nourishes. Dig down, grow down deep, be nourished by the richness of the soil of God's Word, and let that be produced in your life. You'll be surprised about the fruit that you'll bear. You'll be surprised for a short time, and then you'll just learn to expect it because you know what you're planting, and you'll start to get it. Walk with Jesus in that way, and let Him bear good fruit in you. Father, we come, and as we've spent these moments together, I'm so challenged by the book of James, because anytime I read those words that I need to be a doer and not just a hearer, I know and I can remember all of the amazing and wonderful messages I've heard. I've heard things that have challenged me and stirred me up. And Lord, I know that while that is true, I have had times when I've not really followed through very well. So God, I pray that You'll give us strength to do. And Lord, may it be that as we plant the good seed, that we will have a transformed expectation, even as we are doing the good things of your word. Lord, we love you, we give thanks, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to this time of conclusion, I want to invite you to stand with me. And we're going to sing together a song of reflection, a song of response, a song of commitment. It's a wonderful hymn. It says, Living for Jesus. And I want to invite you to sing that with a whole heart today. The chorus says this, O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee. For thou in thine atonement did give yourself for me. I own no other master. My heart will be your throne. My life I give henceforth to live for you, O Jesus, alone. Let that be the commitment of your life. If there are things, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and yet he's spoken to you somehow in this message and said, hey, come to me, for I will give you rest, I will give you forgiveness, I will cleanse you of your sin and your unrighteousness. Come to me and receive my gift for you of eternal life through faith. That may be the commitment you need to make. Whatever else God is speaking in your life today, I invite you, respond to him. I'll be here. If you want to respond and come and ask for prayer and encouragement, it may be that you just want to speak to someone that you are with today and say, you know, something about this thing that was said today, that, or at least that God said in my own heart, that I need to do about. I want to do it. Can you help me? And then pray together. Let God do his work in you today.